I've never heard that song before tonight. And I just forgot everything I was going to preach on. I'm so excited. Thank God he's alive, right? So, like Pastor Lowell said, recently had the opportunity to step into a full-time position doing missions work in Columbia. We actually have three campuses. The University of Missouri is our largest with 30-something thousand students. And we have Stevens College and Columbia College, which both have about 1,000. Many of you know me. Many of you know me and my wife. If you don't, I don't know if I've ever been to first service here. So if you only ever go to first service, you may not have ever actually seen me before. But my mom is Pastor Kelly here, so now you know me through her. And my dad's the really tall guy. You can always see him. Whenever I'd lose him in a grocery store, I could always find him over the aisle. So we brought some friends with us tonight. Hayden, I didn't know was coming, but we have co-led a Bible study in the past. Hayden has been in Chi Alpha for how long? Seven-ish years. And he is also a missionary right now. And then Callan and Kate are both students in our ministry. Kate co-leads a Bible study with Danielle right now at Columbia College. So good stuff. I usually co-lead a Bible study as well. My co-leader, his name's Matthew. He's currently leading our Bible study with just a few guys in a small room. We've been exploring 1 and 2 Timothy this semester, and it's just been an absolute blast. Through Bible studies like mine, as well as Monday night prayers, Tuesday night large group services, Bible studies can be on Wednesdays or Thursday nights, plus Friday night monthly events. We do a lot. We do a lot of community and really close walking together. Through this doing a lot, we are attempting to reconcile students to Christ through spirit-filled communities of prayer, worship, fellowship, discipleship, and mission in order to transform the university, the marketplace, and the world. So that's our mission statement in Chi Alpha, and that is the heart by which we build all of these events and structures around. By using this fivefold mission statement, our ultimate goal is to create disciples who can go and make disciples who can go and make disciples. I'm going to talk more about Chi Alpha afterward. We have a table in the lobby, my wife and I didn't tell them this, but any of these Chi Alpha people that I brought would love to talk to you as well. I know each and every one of them has had their lives changed by Chi Alpha, just like myself. Today, we're going to focus on the discipleship part of our fivefold mission statement. It has been the single most important part of my walk with Jesus, both in youth group here and then Chi Alpha. It's also something that I believe we do really well over there in Columbia. We do it really focused, really intentionally. And so tonight, I'm going to be talking about all the ways we can disciple people, whether easy or difficult, to help them be closer disciples of Christ and to eventually make disciples themselves. Since entering as a Chi Alpha freshman, I was a freshman at Mizzou in 2022, and I have been loved, cultivated, challenged, and now sent out. Now I'm staying, so sent in, I guess, to the campuses in Columbia. And those are the four aspects of discipleship that we're going to be exploring tonight. But before we get into any of these points, I want to say something really important. I'm going to talk a lot about living life on life community with people, walking with people really closely. But discipleship starts in the personal time with Jesus. It starts when we know him directly. As a staff team, as a missionary team, we've been reading a book called The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. In our most recent chapter, Tozer wrote, "Social religion is perfected when private religion is purified." So if we want community to succeed, our private relationship with Jesus has to first be at least established. And in order for community to continue to succeed, our private relationship with Jesus has to be purified. But one way that we do life-on-life discipleship regularly over there in Chi Alpha is through love. Now, of course, everything I'm going to talk about today is out of an abundance of love for people, whether you're discipling them, they're discipling you, or you're just existing in fellowship together. Of course, all of those come from love. But the love that we're going to talk about right now is the obvious, the maybe what the world would call love, the physical, the tangible, gentle, closeness, friendship type of love. The most vital step to love is presence. Jesus shared all 3 years of his ministry very present with his disciples. He walked with them. He talked with them, and he taught them, and he took care of them. In John 13, 1, it says he had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. This was towards the end of Jesus' life, and it's a statement John makes about Jesus' love for his disciples. Tonight we're going to be exploring discipleship through the lens of Jesus' relationship with Peter specifically. Now many of it, of course, applies to all the disciples, but I think more often than not, I find myself more of a Peter than any of the rest of them. And so that's why, because this is my sermon and we're going to explore that. So Jesus' love for Peter is extremely clear, even when Peter feels unworthy of it. So just a few verses later in that same chapter, it says, "So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. And when Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will.' 'No,' Peter protested, 'you will never, ever wash my feet.' And Jesus replied, 'Until I wash you, you won't belong to me.'" Jesus was doing multiple things here. First of all, he was serving them, loving them with humility. And second, he was showing them how to do exactly that. Showing them how to love others, showing them how to walk with people closely, and to be a humble servant of people. As a student leader in Chi Alpha, which I did for 3 years, and then a month and a half ago starting full-time as an intern missionary with Chi Alpha, I'm regularly mentored by an older staff member named Blaze. Blaze and his wife Julie are actually supported by the church here as well. And Blaze has walked very closely with me, and as someone who has experienced discipleship of Christ through Blaze's ministry, I have learned a lot about Christ's love. Blaze shows Christ's love very well. I know the guys here can attest to that. They also meet with Blaze on a regular basis. And Blaze shows Christ's love very presently. Blaze has sat with me through tears and emotions and hurt. He's also sat with me through excitement and joy and celebration. And that is how I have learned to sit with other people. And that is how Christ loves us, and it's how Christ loved Peter, and it's how we must be loving the people around us, by sitting with them and being with them and intentionally helping them grow. So we're going to move into cultivating. Intentional life on life discipleship is an edifying experience, usually for both parties in the pair. But how did Jesus cultivate Peter? As we've seen, Jesus corrected Peter. He demonstrated servanthood, but he also taught Peter responsibility, and he gave Peter responsibility. By entrusting Peter with the responsibility of the kingdom, Jesus was allowing Peter to grow into that maturity. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 17 and 19, it says, "Jesus replied, 'You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter,'" which means rock, "'and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven.'" Jesus in this moment gives Peter immense amounts of responsibility, knowing that moments later, in the same conversation, Peter would defy him. So moments later, in verses 22 and 23, it says, "But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things." Jesus had just told his disciples that he was going to be crucified. Peter says, "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said. "This will never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Jesus gave Peter the responsibility of being the rock that he will build his church on, knowing that moments later, Peter would defy him. Peter would go against him. In Chi Alpha, we practice something. We have a 6 wins of a life group leader, as we learn in leadership materials and things like that. One of those is delegate responsibility to create maturity. This is exactly what Jesus is doing in this scenario. Now, the responsibility I usually delegate is like doing announcements or going and meeting a new guy, not building an entire church upon you as a rock. But Jesus gives Peter a lot of responsibility, so there must be a lot of maturity coming. One student I've had the opportunity of walking with very closely, his name's Evan. He's not here tonight. He's actually at his own Bible study tonight. And Evan, I asked Evan about how close community and discipleship has worked for him, has affected his life. Evan was actually one of the first people I ever met when I stepped on as a student leader 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, a little under 3 years ago. And Evan, I've seen so much growth from Evan and so much change. And Evan is currently working through leadership training materials to potentially step on as a student leader himself. He recently shared with me how close community and discipleship has helped him grow. Evan says that discipleship is the most magnified form of community. It keeps a community strong by making sure people know and care for each other at the most personal level. He also said, and I quote, "It keeps things real. I've been able to learn what things I'm thinking are legit and what are wrong." Remember, I'm in college ministry, so we tend to talk like that. I've shared many private meetings with Evan and have personally watched him grow. And since it's called Life on Life Discipleship, I myself have experienced much of that growth through the things that we're challenging each other in and calling each other out on. I've had many opportunities to challenge Evan. And Jesus challenged Peter, as we see in these previous verses in Matthew. Challenging is a vital part of discipleship. As Christians, we must love people more than our own discomfort. Jesus loved Peter enough to get onto him. Peter asked Jesus if he could walk on water with him. And in Matthew 14, Jesus says, "Yes, come." So Peter went over to the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When Peter falls, Jesus immediately catches him. That's a representation of the love that we were talking about earlier. But immediately he corrects him and tells him exactly where he went wrong. In another example, in John 18, verses 10 and 11, it says, "Then Simon Peter drew a sword, slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. But Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword back into its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me?'" Peter's reaction, he thought, was defending his Lord, defending his teacher, when the high priest and his men were coming to capture Jesus. But his response was incorrect and clearly violent. And Jesus' immediate correction was gracious, not allowing Peter to continue to make mistakes and be violent. In many ways, as we meet with students and as you meet with friends and we disciple each other, calling someone out is far more loving than not calling them out. If someone is living in sin, if someone is experiencing something that they could be doing better, that they could be pursuing God better or closer, calling them out is not allowing them to dwell in that and is far more loving even if it hurts for a moment. Sometimes we talk about love as a cup, and we try to deliver the hard stuff as a little mixture in the cup full of love, but sometimes it's going to be hard. As we train students to grow in leadership, there's some materials that we listen to. One of those materials is a sermon called Leadership Rights. The sermon explores rights that must be given up in order to be a more effective leader. One of the rights is the right to look the other way. When we live life in a godly community with others, there will at some point be a necessity to call each other out, to challenge. My mom, Pastor Kelly, as I mentioned before, challenges very directly, but with much Christ-like wisdom. Now, when she married my dad when I was 14, I didn't like that very much. And I didn't receive that very well, and there were many moments that I did learn from, but I probably could have learned a lot more from if I listened. Would you agree, Kelly? Yeah, she's nodding. She has shown me what challenging and correcting in a Christ-like way is supposed to look like. Now, luckily, I was able to learn from that, and as I entered Chi Alpha, a place that can be very challenging because of the love that is there, I was prepared for that, and I kind of aced the teachable part. I'm not to brag on myself or anything. Jesus challenged, now that's pride, and maybe I need to be more teachable in that part, but Jesus challenged the disciples with love and grace, but that doesn't make it easier to receive, and it hurts sometimes. And when I mention that Blaze has sat with me through tears, usually that's because of something Blaze has just said to me. But those tears are really important, and they help us grow and learn, and those challenges the same. As disciples of Christ, we must not only challenge with love, but also be corrected well. When we can receive godly correction, we can grow and we can challenge each other to then go out and reach other people. As I mentioned in the beginning, part of our Chi Alpha mission statement is to create disciples who are equipped to make disciples. Jesus challenged Peter to become more than himself, to be a fisher of men. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the Great Commission, and Jesus calls his disciples, and in turn us, to go with what we've learned and teach new disciples, to teach people to obey the commands of Christ and to teach people to love and abide in Christ. As we send others out, that probably includes being sent ourselves and receiving that. Before Jesus' arrest, he tells Peter that he will deny him three times. Peter disagrees and says, I'm never going to do that, and then turns around and immediately does it. So thank God for his grace, right? Because how often do we dishonor and disobey God and turn right around and do exactly that? But that's a sermon I'll let Pastor Lowell preach another time. How often do we promise God we won't disobey and dishonor him and just run off and continuously do those things over and over again? After Jesus' resurrection, he meets the disciples on the shore. And in John 21, he says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you, then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you, then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Jesus basically covers all four forms of discipleship that we've been exploring here. He loves Peter. He cultivates him and calls him to grow. He challenges him, and he calls him to feed his sheep and be sent out. Jesus was a very intentional teacher, and since he is perfect, he loves Peter. And since he is perfect, he is our image of what we should be accomplishing and what we should be as disciple makers. We are not Jesus and cannot be perfect. And in many scenarios, we tend to be two Peters. And Proverbs tells us that as iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another. And so as we are two Peters, imperfect and in need of God, our goal is to become more like Christ. And we get to live out that scripture by loving, cultivating, challenging, and sending each other. These points that we've been through today are simply ways and methods to love people well. But it is ultimately our call and my challenge to you to love people well. Usually, I conclude my Bible studies on Wednesday nights, which is where I would be if I wasn't with you guys tonight, by giving my students some homework. So I'm going to give you guys some homework tonight. It's nothing too specific, and it's maybe what you should have already been doing, but go tell someone about the saving grace of our God, but then love them intentionally and cultivate them, call them to grow, challenge them where necessary, and send them out and go with them. This could take a few weeks. This could take a few decades, but it's our call to love people and live life closely, life on life with them as disciple makers and disciples ourselves. So if you guys want to stand with me, I'm just going to pray and stop sweating so much, hopefully. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to love people. Lord, you tell us in your word that by loving people, we are loving you in turn, God. And I ask that you would give us the strength, Lord, take our pride and take our struggles, Lord, give us the strength to call people to a higher standard, to call people to your standard, Lord, to teach people to obey your commands and to make disciples who make disciples, Lord. I thank you for everything that you're doing, everything that you are, and everything that you've been doing in this place, Lord. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.